Amen. Good to see everybody today. Amen. Isn't it great to be in the house of God? Amen. Amen. Today, we start a new series of lessons. We just finished up in the books of Ezra and Esther. And it was a series entitled Comeback, God's Hand of Providence. God's Hand of Providence in Motion. And we finished that lesson last week from Esther chapter 10. And today we start a new series of lessons from the books of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. And as you turn there, our lesson today, our introduction lesson, leading us into 1 and 2 Thessalonians, is going to come from Acts chapter 17. All right? I just want to really confuse you here today, all right? But we're going to start the lesson today from Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 10, all right? Verses 1 through 10. This is going to lead us up into 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and you'll see why after we get into the lesson today, okay? Today is July the 25th, 2021, okay? My last announcement was, as of today, July the 25th, 2021, there are only 154 shopping days left before Christmas, okay? Okay, so we are exactly about 5 months away from Christmas now, okay? But I just wanted to remind you that, okay? So I just want you to be ready, okay? I hope that we can have our Conqueror's Christmas banquet this year. We hope to be able to do that. And I'll let you know here within the next couple weeks or so, but we're going to go from that. But I want to ask you a question today. And this lesson today deals with something. It's entitled, Neither Rain, Sleet, Nor Snow. This lesson is entitled, Staying on Course. Staying on course. Let me tell you something today. Our nation is off course today. Many churches today are off course today. Many Christians, many folks that claim the name of Christ are off course today. We've gotten used to being gone. COVID has done a deal on the hearts and the minds of many people. And we have gotten to a point where we are just slack on all kinds of things. And I don't say that to be critical. I just state it as a fact. Man, this morning, the bed, it seems like the bed never sleeps as good as it does on Sunday morning. And I thought this morning, man, if I were getting ready to come to church and be here for an 8:30 service, which we're not having yet, but if I were to get ready for an 8:30 service, I was going to be very, very late this morning, okay? I've got family coming in this week, or coming in tomorrow, and we stayed up late. We've been trying to get things ready for all that. And man, this morning, even the dog, Precious, was laying there in the bed, and she did not move. And when the clock went off today, she just raised up her head and looked at me like, are you for real? You know, and she just laid back down at the foot of the bed. Good night. But let me tell you something. We need, as Christians today, the world needs us. We need each other to get back on course again. We need to encourage one another to stay on course. Let me tell you why. I believe this with all my heart. We are so close to the Lord Jesus coming back again. I believe old Gabriel's up there just licking his lips saying, Lord, tell me when to blow. Tell me when to blow. And you know what? We are close. We see the signs around us. And if there were ever a time that you and I, as born-again believers, need to stay on course for God and not let the devil get us sidetracked and get us distracted by the things of this old world, today is that day. We need to start. So let me ask you, is today a good day to serve the Lord? Is today a good day to start serving the Lord? We don't know how many days we have left to live in this world. We don't know, physically speaking, we don't know spiritually whether the Lord's going to come back today or not. I look for him. I long for him to come back. But if he does not, what am I going to do with my life today for the Lord? What am I going to do for the Lord? As we start this new series of lessons from the New Testament books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, I want us to see the key purpose for these lessons today. And the key purpose for these lessons is to help us to learn how to stay on course. It's to teach us how to stay on course and not be distracted by the things of this world. Not be put into a situation where we see all the wrath of people around us for the people of God and for God himself. There are a lot of folks today, buddy, I'm telling you, they are just violent on anybody that says they believe the Word of God. They don't have anything good to say. But you know what? Things have not changed since the very beginning. And it just seems like today we allow the devil to take some of these things and get us so afraid to stand up and to do what's right. And the devil wants to do that. He knows he cannot unsave us. You know that? You do know that you cannot be unsaved, right? Okay. Once you're born, okay, you can never be unborn, okay? My mom is glad for that, I'm sure, okay? You can't send me back where I came from, okay? You can't ever be unborn, all right? From what I understand, I came feet first and ready to stand, okay? So I don't know. I was there, but I just don't quite remember it all. But listen, you can never be unborn. You can't ever be unbirthed out of the family of God. And the devil knows that. So what does he try to do? He tries to get us discouraged. He tries to get us so that we are sidetracked and we get our eyes on the tempest instead of keeping our eyes on the one who's in charge of the tempest. Okay? And in the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, we're going to see a letter written to people that were going through some very violent storms in their life. Today in the lesson in Acts chapter 17, we're going to see some things that Brother Paul, Silas, Timothy, some of the great men of God had to go through. And yet we find them writing letters to a church in Thessalonica to encourage them to stay on track, to stay on course. And listen today, you are an encourager. You say, me, Brother Ray, am I an encourager? You are an encourager to me. I see you here. I see your face. I pray. And I get in here and I pray and I try to go through my class roll and I'm going through names and I'm praying. I'm thinking, Lord, please help them to get back in church. God, help them, please, to stand faithful for you. Encourage them, Lord, through the storms that they're going through right now. Many of you are fighting battles with health and other situations that are going on. And we got family members that are going through health battles and all kinds of situations. And boy, the devil's doing all that he can do to distract you and cause you to get away from living for God. But honey, listen, stay on course. Stay on course. The United States Postal Service, with all of its faults, they still have a motto. And that motto says, neither rain, nor snow, nor heat, nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. Now, I think they've got the NIV version of that, and they've taken out swift, okay? They've omitted that word, okay? But they do still get it there, okay? We had some folks that got a card I sent out right about Christmas time, and they finally got it. I think it was in March or so. And bless their hearts, I'm glad they finally got it. But here's the thing. We've got to stay on track. Don't let the things around you keep you from being faithful to God. Don't let it happen. Listen, don't let the things of this old world discourage you to the point that you say, man, what's it matter? Lord, just come back. I'm just going to go hide in my little shell, and I'm going to come out when you send for me, Lord. Don't. Listen, the world needs you today. The world needs to see something that's real. They're seeing so much today that is unreal. They're seeing so much today that is religious in name, but not pure in thought and in action. And folks, they need to see something that's real. And the only thing they're going to see is you and I as we shine in the darkness of this light, of this life. So I want us to look at this thing. Folks, stay faithful. Don't quit. I think in my bulletin today, I put a little poem for you. Yeah, it's in the very front of it. I have this poem taped in the front of my Bible. It's entitled, Don't Quit. And let me just read it to you, okay? I use this a lot in the Soul Winners Club. But it said this, don't quit when things go wrong as they sometimes will. When the road you're trudging seems all uphill. When the funds are low and the debts are high. And you want to smile but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit. Rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns. And as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about. When he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint of the clouds of doubt. You never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. Listen, Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, I want to be found faithful. Amen. I want to be found staying on course. Now, I want us to look at this today. Acts chapter 17. We're going to begin here in verses 1 through 4. I do want to ask you to do me a favor. I don't mention this a lot. But I do need your prayers on some things. I'm still having some problems with this pneumonia and the COVID stuff. I don't have it, okay? Don't get me wrong. From the after effects, okay? I'm now up to 74% capacity of my lungs, okay? My lung capacity is up to 74%. But I still have some difficulties catching my breath, okay? When my wife walks by, I just lose it, okay? I can't. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's one of those things. All right, but no, seriously, when I get teaching or preaching or things like that and I get excited about things, sometimes I can't quite catch my breath. So if I take a deep breath or I pause a little bit, don't think I'm about to die, okay? I'm doing that so I don't, okay? All right. But just pray that the Lord will help me to get this breathing thing back up. I've got some stuff they've sent me to help me out with it, and they want me to do a little breathing machine thing and help me open up some things a little bit better. So help me pray about that if you would, okay? And I just ask you that as a favor. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just need some encouragement and prayer with that, okay? All right? So let's keep on here, okay? I want you to see here today how that Paul, the Apostle Paul, he preached faithfully in Thessalonica. Now I want you to see here in verses 1, 2, and 3, I want you to notice where Paul preached. I want you to notice here something that struck my heart. The Bible said, now when they had passed from Amphipolis to Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. Now look at this next phrase. And Paul, as his manner was. When I read that, I thought, Paul was faithful. Wherever he traveled, he went to the house of God. When he saw a place to worship, he went. And the Bible said, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and for 3 Sabbath days, for 3 weeks, okay, he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. What did Paul teach these people? He taught them the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call that what? The gospel. He preached unto them the gospel. Many of these folks had never heard the gospel. Many of these folks in the synagogues, they came every Sabbath day to hear the word of God read. but they had never heard the gospel. Folks, do you realize today there are many churches today where that folks have never heard the gospel? It's sad to say, but it's a truth. And folks today, they don't realize what Christ has done for them. That's why you and I have to stay on course. They need to know. Now look what the Bible said. The capital, okay, of Thessalonica was the capital and the second largest city there in Macedonia. It was the capital and the second largest city. So there were lots of people there. And the Bible said that because of this strategic location there in this Roman Empire area, it was known as the Ignatian Way. And it was known as that because the people poured in and out of that city. Isn't it interesting that God sent Paul and Silas and Timothy into a city like this? Why did he do that? Because people were coming in and they were going back out. And as people came in, God gave Paul the power and the boldness to preach the word of God. They get saved and then they go back out and take it to other places. Isn't that amazing how God had a plan? And look at this. The people, as they poured in, the Bible said, verse number 2, that as his manner was, Paul, talking about Paul here, he went in unto them and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. That sounds just like what Jesus did on the road to Emmaus with the disciples. And when he got back into the upper room with his disciples, he reasoned with them. He opened up their understanding and he taught them how Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the promised one. Not was, not will be, but he is. Amen? Isn't that great? And so Paul went in there, and his custom was to go into the house of God and to preach and to teach. And Paul had a burden for souls. He had a burden for people. He wanted people to go to heaven when they died. Let me ask you today, do you have a burden for souls? Sometimes when I go through some of these stoplights around here, I don't have a burden like I ought to have, okay? Some of these folks come flying up through the traffic circle down here at Gorsuch and Center Street, okay? Have you ever noticed some of them don't stop? And some of them I have seen go straight across that little brick thing there in the middle. They don't stop. They don't slow down. They don't collect $200. They don't do anything. And sometimes I'm not always as spiritual as I ought to be, okay? I just say under my breath, dear God, if I hit them, I hope they're going to heaven. You know, I sure hope they're going to heaven. Man, it's scary. But you know what? Paul had a burden for souls. He had a burden for these people. And look what he did when he went into the synagogue. He went in and for 3 Sabbath days, 3 different Sabbath days, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Now, I want to say this, and you need to remember this. Everybody seems to think that the Old Testament is has-been stuff. But the Old Testament scriptures is what he preached unto them. He showed them how the scriptures taught a Messiah was coming. He taught them how that we were all sinners in the eyes of God. He taught them how that we all deserve the penalty for our sins from the Old Testament scriptures. And when he told them those scriptures, he preached it in the scriptures, he pushed it right into where Jesus came on the scene. And what we have today in the New Testament scriptures is just the finished story of what the Old Testament said, he's coming, he's coming. The New Testament scriptures say he's come, but he's coming again. Amen? And here he opened and he alleged to them that Christ must needs have suffered. Now look at what the Bible said. The Bible said here in verse number 4, we see how the people responded to the message. Now Paul preached to them, but how do people respond? Sometimes people accept what you preach. Sometimes people don't accept what you preach. The Bible said here in verse number 4, and some of them believed, and they consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. God blessed his word. God blessed the preaching of the word. And as they listened to the man of God, many of these folks believed the scriptures and came to know Christ as their Savior. And notice here that they that believed, they consorted with Paul and Silas. Now, what does that mean, consorted? It means that they united together with him. They united themselves together with the men of God. You know what? That's what you came in here this morning and did. You consorted with one another. You came to meet together in brotherly love, sisterly love, compassion for one another, fellowship one with another. We have come as conquerors to consort together. We are consorting conquerors today. Amen? You've learned something new today. And the Bible said here that God was faithful to bless when Paul was willing to do what God said do. And folks, I want you to understand something. Whenever you and I are willing to do whatever we do for Christ, God is willing and he's able to bless it. Amen? So the people responded. But I want you to look here at verses 5 through 9. And I want you to see, with the persuasion to be saved, there was also persecution that came. The unbelieving Jews literally attacked the believers. Now, we've seen some of these riots and things on TV. My wife read to me last night a very sad article. She read an article that said that in Baltimore City, they are 600 police officers short of what they need, and that they had called in National Army people, National Guard, to be able to help them get control of the violence that's in Baltimore right now. Folks, we're in trouble today. Our world is in trouble. You know what the problem is? It's not a political problem, it's a heart problem. And what they need is Jesus. They may not realize that. I didn't realize it before I got saved. You probably did not realize it before you got saved. But what we needed was Jesus. But what happened here, there were unbelieving Jews. They chose to reject Jesus, and they chose to reject the preaching of God's men. And what they did was what you see on the news today with some of these groups today. They came in and they stirred up the people. They stirred up the people. Now look what it said. As God blessed those people that were listening and believing what the Bible said. Verse 5 said, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Now, that's a pretty neat description of some hoodlums. That's what it is, okay? Baltimore, Portland, Oregon, some of these other places are filled with certain lewd fellows of the baser sort right now, okay? Many of our big cities are. They took unto them, they consorted with these folks, certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Now think about what's happening here. The Jews that refused, it's not because they didn't know. It's like Paul preached in Romans chapter 1. They did know who God was, but they chose not to accept him as who he was. They made a choice. They chose to refuse the gospel. They chose to reject the message of truth. And these folks that did, they were moved with envy. They hated the men of God. They worked against them in every way that they could. And they consorted with certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines lewd as this. It defines lewd as evil, wicked, sexually unchaste and licentious, lacking legal and moral restraint, vulgar, obscene, without personal integrity. I think last month we had several parades in town and even here in Westminster that portrayed certain lewd fellows or something of the baser sort, okay? And you know what? All they need is Jesus. The gospel will change their hearts. They won't want to be like this again if they get saved. But you know what? They chose to reject it. And when Dr. Luke writes here and he describes these men of the baser sort, he means that they were the lowest of the low and they were the most detestable. They had no integrity. They didn't mind hurting anybody. They didn't mind doing anything that gained them a little money. I'm sure that they were paid to do the things that they did. And these are the types of men that the unbelieving Jews associated themselves with. They were religious in name. They attended the synagogues every week. And yet, they associated themselves with these certain fellows, lewd fellows of the baser sort. Boy, isn't that like the religious world is today? Come together on their meeting days, but during the week, they don't know Christ. And they show that they don't know Christ. Listen, I don't want to be like that. Listen, if I tell my wife I love her on Sunday, I want her to know it on Monday. Amen? I want her to know it every day during the week. Listen, we splurged the other day. I had coupons for Burger King. Amen? They had two Whoppers, two fries, and two drinks for $8.99. Amen? And I took my wife out to eat. Amen? And I splurged on her because I added cheese and bacon and got it all for $12.45, okay? What a deal, amen? You can't beat that deal anywhere. Listen, I want you to know, if I say I love the Lord on Sunday, I want to prove it to the world on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday because I want the Lord to know it's from my heart. Listen, what these fellows did was from their heart, but their heart was not filled with the love of Christ. Listen, their hearts were not persuaded. In these verses, we see three distinct things. I want to share this with you. We see three distinct things about these men. Their hearts were not persuaded. Their hearts were not convicted of their sin. And no matter what they heard from the man of God, the gospel did not change their wicked hearts. That's a sad situation to put yourself in. Let me tell you why it's so sad. It's sad because it's a choice. That was a choice that they made. Look at what the Bible said. They believed not, and they were moved with envy. But secondly, I want you to see this. Not only were they not convicted of their sin, and not only were they just not persuaded that they were doing anything wrong. The Bible said that they willingly and hatefully rejected anything and everything the man of God had to say unto them about their sin. You know what? I did not like the fact that God said in His Word that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I did not like it when God said, "You're a sinner." But God had to help me to see the fact that I was a sinner so that I could see the need to be forgiven of my sins. And folks today are so willing and so hateful toward the gospel that they are literally turning away their opportunity to be forgiven and saved from the penalty of their sin. And folks, can you imagine when they stand before God in heaven and they say to God, "But God, I never heard the message of the gospel." And God looks at them and says, "Because you willingly rejected it." You remember those folks going down the sidewalk and trying to give you a gospel tract? And they took that gospel tract and you rejected it. You took it and tore it up in front of them. I had one man take a gospel tract. He tore it up, threw it on the ground, spit on it, and stepped all over it. And he said, "I worship the devil." And I thought as he walked away in that huff, you know what? I used to worship the devil too. Hey, listen, before you and I were saved, each of us worshiped the devil. He was our God. And were it not for the grace of God, that could have been me. That could have been you. And folks, these folks did not realize what they were doing. And the folks in our world today, they don't understand. They are rejecting eternal life with God in heaven. And we need to have some compassion. We need to have some love for these folks. Hate the sin, yes, but love the sinner. But number three, look at this. Because of all this, they immediately did all that they could within their power to move against the men of God and to do them harm. To do them harm. And they yoked up with these certain fellows of the baser sort. The fact is, folks, anytime you give out the gospel, some folks are going to hear it and some folks are going to believe it. But there's also going to be many folks that will hear it, reject it, and hate you for trying to give it to them. But that cannot stop us from doing what we're supposed to do. It cannot stop us. We need to give them that opportunity to hear the message of the gospel. And listen, the little song, I don't know if you know it or not. I know it. I sing it a lot of times. It goes like this. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. And it just goes on and on and on. I add little verses to it every now and then. And just sing it. Everybody ought to know. Listen, that neighbor needs to know. Hey, those folks that you work beside, they need to know. Hey, listen, that in-law, outlaw, whatever. You know the difference between in-laws and outlaws, don't you? Outlaws are wanted, amen? All right? Listen, but the in-laws and the outlaws, they all need to know about Jesus. They need to know about Jesus. Everybody needs to know. As we see here, Paul and Silas, they continue to be faithful, even though they were persecuted and even though the message was rejected. And listen, Jason, a fellow believer who had opened up his home to Paul and Silas and these other men of God, now they had to suffer persecution for their decision to be a help to the men of God. And look what the Bible said, verse 5, "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered the company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." Man, they were just wicked. I want to tell you a little story. You say, "But preacher, I'm not sure I'm the one that needs to be doing those things for God." You look at me and you say, "Preacher, I believe that somebody needs to do it." Well, I want to tell you a little story about four people. A true story about four people. They're named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. I want you to listen. There was an important job that needed to be done, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was certain that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Now, that little story may seem funny, okay? But the little poem explains something very important to every truly born-again child of God today. This little poem reminds us, and it explains the attitudes of many people in our Christian world today. Everybody thinks somebody is going to do what they ought to do for God. Everybody thinks that anybody can do it. But you know what? Nobody ends up doing it. And that's why we're in the shape in America today that we're in. Because nobody's willing to stand. Folks, listen to me today. There's a poem I want to read to you. It's entitled, "I'm Just a Nobody." Brother Stainer taught us this in Soul Winners Club. He said, "I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that will save anybody." Amen? And that's the attitude that you and I need to have today with the gospel. Are people going to reject it? Yes. Are people going to accept it? Yes. But it's our job to give it out. It's our job to take it. Stay on course. Listen, you get down to Acts chapter 17, verse 9. The magistrates, they released Jason. They let the people go. And when you get down to chapter 17, verse number 10, when they were let go, the brethren who loved the Apostle Paul and Timothy and Silas, the Bible said the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, what did they do? They went straight into the synagogue of the Jews. The very night that they were persecuted, the very time that they were trying to be rid of by those that did not believe, they were sent away for safety's sake. But what did they do? They went right into Berea, into the synagogue of the Jews, and they did what they did all over again. And they continued to tell folks about Jesus. Here's the point I want you to see today, folks. Paul and Silas did not quit when things got tough. Things in this world are going to get tough. They're going to get tougher. They didn't gripe. They didn't murmur. They didn't complain about the way that God was treating them, okay? I've heard people say, "Well, if God really loved me, He wouldn't let these things happen." Do you not realize all these things God uses to convict us and to draw us to see our need of a Savior? And even as Christians, when we have to go through the hard times and we go through these tough times and we just don't understand why, God's trying to get us to say, "You don't understand, but I do. And I've got a plan for you. Stay the course. Stay the course. Stay faithful." There's Brother Mike. Good to see you, buddy. Amen. Mike had surgery recently on his neck, and he's had some problems, but he made it today. Amen. God bless him. Amen. Hey, stay faithful, course. Stay faithful to the course, and stay faithful for Jesus. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, I just want to tell you today, dear God, I love you. And Lord, I know that many of our folks in here today have been going through some hard battles in life. Lord, many of them are still fighting some of those battles today. But God, I pray, Lord, that your love would so abound within their hearts and their souls, God, that they would see that there's no other course to take but to stay faithful for you. And Lord, I want to ask you today that if there is anyone listening to the sound of my voice today, either in this room or through this lesson that's being on the internet today, I pray, dear God, that you would speak to their hearts. If they're not saved, help them, Lord, to see their need to be saved. And Lord, help them to understand, God, that you've got a plan for them. And that plan is not sudden destruction. Lord, your plan for them is not an eternity separated from you in an awful place called hell. But God, your plan is for them to be with you forever in that wonderful place we call heaven. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll help them to see their need to be saved. Lord, help our Christian brothers and sisters today to be found faithful to do that which you have saved us to do. Help us, Lord, to stay the course, would you? And to see the examples that you've given us in your word that might strengthen us for the task at hand. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.